You looking at people from Jackson? That's a lot of people. Tell me about it. Did he have enemies at Byrd? Not that I've heard, I said. He had enemies up the chain of command. Those pussies don't meet people in alleys in the middle of the night. Where was the alley? Not in a quiet part of town. So, did anyone hear anything? Nobody, Sanchez said. Columbia PD ran a canvas and came up empty. That's weird. They're civilians. What else would they be? He went quiet. You met Willard yet? I asked him. He's on his way here right now. Seems to be a real hands-on type of asshole. What was the alley like? Whores and crack dealers. Nothing that the Columbia City Fathers are likely to put in their tourism brochures. Willard hates embarrassment, I said. He's going to be nervous about image. Columbia's image? What does he care? The Army's image, I said. He won't want Brubaker put next to whores and crack dealers. Not an elite colonel. He figures this Soviet stuff is going to shake things up. He figures we need good PR right now. He figures he can see the big picture. The big picture is I can't get near this case anyway. So what kind of pull does he have with the Columbia PD and the FBI? Because that's what it's going to take. Just be ready for trouble, I said. Are we in for 7 lean years? Not that long. Why not? Just a feeling, I said. You happy with me handling liaison down here? Or should I get them to call you direct? Brubaker is your dead guy, technically. Now you do it, I said. I got other things to do. We hung up, and I went back to Summers' lists. 973. 972 innocent, 1 guilty. But which one? Summer came back inside another hour. She walked in and gave me a sheet of paper. It was a photocopy of a weapons requisition that Sergeant First Class Christopher Carbone had made 4 months ago. It was for a Heckler & Koch P7 handgun. Maybe he'd like the H&K submachine guns Delta was using, and therefore he wanted the P7 for his personal sidearm. He had asked for it to be chambered for the standard 9mm Parabellum cartridge. He had asked for the 13-round magazine and 3 spares. It was a perfectly standard requisition form and a perfectly reasonable request. I was sure it had been granted. There would have been no political sensitivities. H&K was a German outfit, and Germany was a NATO country last time I checked. There would have been no compatibility issues either. 9mm Parabellums were standard NATO loads. The U.S. Army had no shortage of them. We had warehouses crammed full of them. We could have filled 13-round magazines with them 1 million times over, every day for the rest of history. So, I said.
Look at the signature on it,
Summer said. She took my copy of Carbone's complaint out of her inside pocket and handed it over. I spread it out on my desk, side by side with the requisition form. Looked from one to the other. The two signatures were identical. We're not handwriting experts, I said.
We don't need to be. They're the same, Reacher. Believe it.
I nodded. Both signatures read C. Carbone, and the 4 capital letter C's were very distinctive. They were fast, elongated, curling flourishes. The lowercase e on the end of each sample was distinctive, too. It made a small round shape, and then the tail of the letter whipped way out to the right of the page, well beyond the name itself, horizontally and exuberantly. The A-R-B-O-N in the middle was fast and fluid and linear. As a whole, it was a bold, proud, legible, self-confident signature, developed no doubt by long years of signing checks and bar bills and leases and car papers. No signature was impossible to forge, of course, but I figured this one would have been a real challenge. A challenge that I guessed would have been impossible to meet between midnight and 0845 on a North Carolina Army post. Okay, I said. The complaint is genuine. I left it on the desk. Summer reversed it and read it through, although she must have read it plenty of times already.
"It's cold," she said. "It's like a knife in the back."
"It's weird," I said. "That's what it is. I never met this guy before. I'm absolutely sure of that. And he was Delta. Not too many gentle pacifist souls over there. Why would he be offended? Wasn't his leg I broke."
"Maybe it was personal. Maybe the fat guy was his friend."
I shook my head. "He'd have stepped in. He'd have stopped the fight."
"It's the only complaint he ever made in a 16-year career."
"You've been talking to people?"
"All kinds of people. Right here and by phone, far and wide."
"Were you careful?"
"Very. And it's the only complaint you ever had made against you."
"Oh, you checked that, too." She nodded.
"All the way back to when God's dog was a puppy."
"You wanted to know what kind of a guy you're dealing with here?"
"No. I wanted to be able to show the Delta guys you don't have a history, with Carbone or anyone else."
"You're protecting me now?"
"Someone's gonna have to. I was just over there, and they're plenty mad."
I nodded. "Brubaker." "I'm sure they are," I said. I pictured their lonely prison barracks, first designed to keep people in, then used to keep strangers out. Now serving to keep their unity boiling like a pressure cooker. I pictured Brubaker's office, wherever it was, quiet and deserted. I pictured Carbone's cell, standing empty. "So where was Carbone's new P-7, I said. I didn't find it in his quarters.
"In their armory,"
Summer said.
"Cleaned, oiled, and loaded. They check their personal weapons in and out. They got a cage inside their hangar. Man, you should see that place. It's like Santa's Grotto. Special armored Humvees, wall-to-wall, trucks, explosives, grenade launchers, claymores, night vision stuff. They could equip a Central African dictatorship all by themselves."
"That's very reassuring," I said.
"Sorry,"
she said. "Why'd he file a complaint?"
"I don't know,"
she said. I pictured Carbone in the strip club New Year's night. I had walked in, and I'd seen a group of four men I took to be sergeants. The swirl of the crowd had turned three of them away from me and one of them towards me in a completely random dynamic. I hadn't known who was going to be there. They hadn't known I was going to show up. I'd never met any of them before. The encounter was as close to pure chance as it was possible to get. Yet Carbone had tagged me for the kind of tame mayhem he must have seen 1,000 times before. The kind of tame mayhem he must have joined in with 100 times before. "Show me an enlisted man who claims never to have fought a civilian in a bar, and I'll show you a liar." "Are you Catholic?" I asked.
"No. Why?"
Summer said. "I wondered if you knew any Latin."
"It's not just Catholics who know Latin. I went to school."
"Okay. Qui bono," I said.
"Who benefits? What? From the complaint?"
"It's always a good guide to motive," I said. "You can explain most things with it. History, politics, everything."
"Like, follow the money?"
"Approximately," I said. "Except I don't think there's money involved here. But there must have been some benefit for Carbone. Otherwise, why would he do it?"
"Could have been a moral thing. Maybe he was driven to do it."
"Not if it was his first complaint in 16 years. He must have seen far worse. I only broke one leg and one nose. It was no kind of a big deal. This is the army, Summer. I assume he hadn't been confusing it with a gardening club all these years."
"I don't know,"
she said again. I slid her the slip of paper with 973 written on it. "That's our suspect pool," I said.
"He was in a bar until 8 o'clock,
she said.
"I checked that too. He left alone. Nobody saw him again after that."
"Anyone say anything about his mood?"
"Delta guys don't have moods. Too much danger of appearing human."
"Had he been drinking?"
"One beer."
"So he just walked out of the mess at 8. No nerves, no worries."
"Apparently so."
"He knew the guy he was meeting," I said. Summer said nothing. Sanchez called again while you were out, I said. Colonel Brubaker was shot in the back of the head, a double tap, close in from behind.
So he knew the guy he was meeting, too.
Very likely, I said. 1:23 in the morning. Bullet caught his watch. Between 3.5 and 4.5 hours after Carbone.
That puts you in a clear with Delta. You were still here at 1:23.
Yes, I said. I was. With Norton.
I'll spread the word.
They won't believe you.
Do you think there's a connection between Carbone and Brubaker?
Common sense says there has to be, but I don't see how. And I don't see why. I mean, sure, they were both Delta soldiers, but Carbone was here, and Brubaker was there, and Brubaker was a high-profile mover and shaker, and Carbone was a nobody who kept himself to himself. Maybe because he thought he had to.
You think we'll ever have gays in the military?
We've already got gays in the military. We always have had. World War II, the Western Allies had 14 million men in uniform. Any kind of reasonable probability says at least 1 million of them were gay. And we won that war, as I recall, last time I checked with the history books. We won it big time.
It's a hell of a step,
she said. They took the same step when they let black soldiers in, and women. Everyone pissed and moaned about that, too. Bad for morale, bad for unit cohesion. It was crap then, and it's crap now. Right? You're here, and you're doing okay.
Are you a Catholic?
I shook my head. My mother taught us the Latin. She cared about our education. She taught us things, me and my brother Joe.
You should call her.
Why?
To see how her leg is.
Maybe later, I said. I went back to the personnel lists, and Summer went out and came back in with a map of the eastern United States. She taped it flat to the wall below the clock and marked our location at Fort Byrd with a red pushpin. Then she marked Columbia, South Carolina, where Brubaker had been found. Then she marked Raleigh, North Carolina, where he'd been playing golf with his wife. I gave her a clear plastic ruler from my desk drawer, and she checked the map's scale and started calculating times and distances. Bear in mind, most of us don't drive as fast as you do, I said.
None of you drive as fast as I do, she said.
She measured 4.5 inches between Raleigh and Columbia and called it 5 to allow for the way US-1 snaked slightly. She held the ruler against the scale in the legend box.
200 miles,
she said.
So if Brubaker left Raleigh after dinner, he could have been in Columbia by midnight easily, an hour or so before he died.
Then she checked the distances between Fort Byrd and Columbia. She came up with 150 miles, less than I had originally guessed.
3 hours,
she said,
to be comfortable.
Then she looked at me.
It could have been the same guy,
she said.
If Carbone was killed at 9 or 10, the same guy could have been in Columbia at midnight or 1, ready for Brubaker.
She put her little finger on the Fort Byrd pin.
Carbone,
she said. Then she spanned her hand and put her index finger on the Columbia pin.
Brubaker,
she said.
It's a definite sequence.
It's a definite guess, I said. She didn't reply. Do we know that Brubaker drove down from Raleigh? I said.
We can assume he did.
We should check with Sanchez, I said. See if they found his car anywhere. See if his wife says he took it with him in the first place.
Okay,
she said. She went out to my sergeant's desk to make the call. Left me with the interminable personnel lists. She came back in 10 minutes later.
He took his car,
she said.
His wife told Sanchez they had 2 cars up at the hotel, his and hers. They always did it that way because he was always rushing off somewhere. She was always concerned about getting stuck.
What kind of car, I said. I figured she would have asked.
Chevy Impala SS.
Nice car.
He left after dinner, and his wife's assumption was that he was driving back here to Byrd. That would have been normal. But the car hadn't turned up anyplace yet. At least not according to the Columbia PD and the FBI.
Okay, I said.
Sanchez thinks they're holding out on him, like they know something we don't.
Well, that'd be normal, too.
He's pressing them, but it's difficult.
It always is,
He'll call us,
she said,
as soon as he gets anywhere.
We got a call 30 minutes later, but not from Sanchez, not about Brubaker or Carbone. The call was from Detective Clark in Green Valley, Virginia. It was about Mrs. Kramer's case.